Today we celebrate the greatest feast day of the church year, the feast of Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I had the privilege of traveling to the Holy Land this past October, and despite long lines and huge crowds, I was able to spend a few brief moments in the empty tomb. And I did a holy hour outside of the tomb. And as part of that holy hour, I spent a lot of time reflecting upon today's gospel, the resurrection account according to John. And it was so powerful. You know, I think regardless of how deeply someone's reflected upon that gospel in the past, it truly comes alive when you're in the very place where it happened. And there's a whole new level of realism when you're sitting in the very place and can just visualize and imagine this encounter between Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene that happened right there. I want to reflect a little bit upon the empty tomb and why it's so important. Why is this feast day of Easter so important to each and every one of us? Well, there's many reasons. I think on one level, the empty tomb is what separates our faith as Christians from pagan mythology. Our faith is based upon real historical events that left behind actual evidence. We can go and see the empty tomb today in Jerusalem. We can see the Shroud of Turin, which is the burial cloth over the body of that was over the body of Jesus Christ. The resurrection isn't a made-up story, and it wasn't a fable meant to teach us a lesson. It's a real event with real historical evidence. And it's an event that's so important that it should literally change our entire perception of reality. The resurrection was the beginning of a new creation. We live in the first creation right now. We hear about the origin of the first creation in the first couple chapters of the book of Genesis, when God created the entire universe out of nothing. We use the Latin phrase ex nihilo. That means out of nothing. You know, God brought the entire universe into existence. But on Easter Sunday, something greater happened. Jesus Christ inaugurated a new creation, a creation that would be greater than the original creation. The first creation was disfigured by sin. The sin of Adam and Eve, and every sin that we've committed has contributed to that. It's a world in which we're subject to diseases like COVID-19. We're subject to hardships and struggles. It's a world where we often hurt each other through our own sin. And it's a world that condemned its own creator, Jesus Christ, to death. Before we become too attached to this world, we should take a hard look at what this world did to Jesus Christ on the cross and ask ourselves, is this the world that we should embrace? Certainly, there's beautiful things about our world because it was created by God, but there is real disorder within our world as well. But on Easter Sunday, on the third day, Jesus Christ rose victorious from the dead, and he conquered sin and death. And he inaugurated a new creation, not only that he's a part of, but that he wishes each and every one of us to be a part of as well. And there's major differences between the original creation and the new creation. First, we can look at the body of Jesus Christ. When he rose, he didn't just have his body restored and his heels wounded, or his wounds healed. His body is no longer subject to deterioration over time. It's no longer subject to death or pain. His body has been transformed into a body that will exist for all eternity. And we, each one of us, on the last day, we'll be reunited with our bodies as well, not just our natural bodies from this world, but resurrected bodies that are meant for eternity. And so there will be certainly a difference in the new creation with our bodies, but there's also going to be a transformation in our souls in the new creation. The new creation is a creation that's free from sin. No taint of sin will blemish the new creation. And it is a creation that's governed by a new law, the law that Jesus Christ gave to us before his passion and death, his command to love one another as he has loved us. It's a creation that requires us to have unconditional trust in Jesus Christ. It's a creation that calls upon us to recognize who we are truly created to be, that we are created to be children of God. That is our dignity. And in the new creation, we'll realize that more fully than we can in this world. As we reflect upon this Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the new creation, one of the things that it can teach us is that there is a power at work within this world that is greater than any natural force, because it is not part of nature. It is not part of this creation. It is supernatural, and it is a power that is part of the new creation. It is the power of Jesus Christ who conquered sin and death. And it's a power that we know is real because we have evidence that his resurrection is real. And Jesus Christ wishes for us to partake in the new creation, not simply in the next life, but right now. We begin to live the new creation now in this world. And how do we do that? It comes to us through the Catholic Church that Jesus Christ instituted. And in particular, through the seven sacraments that he gave us. If we look at baptism, baptism forgives our sins, and it gives us sanctifying grace, which is divine life, the life of the new creation, eternal life. It gives that to us. And in the Eucharist, Jesus feeds us with his own body and blood, so we can consume his very life, which will become part of us. He gives us the life of the new creation within the sacraments. The sacraments are not empty rituals. They're means in which Jesus Christ conveys new life to us. Our goal in this life should be to do whatever is necessary and to make whatever sacrifice we need to make in order to be with Jesus Christ in the new creation. Unfortunately, Jesus Christ wants all of us to be part of this new creation, and so he doesn't put it out of our reach. He calls us freely, without cost. But what we are called to do is to have an internal conversion of heart, to turn away from what's displeasing to God, and to turn towards him, and to turn towards his church. We are so close to eternal life. And I think often we forget that. Who would have thought on Good Friday that something amazing was going to happen on the third day? You know, the story appeared to be over. We can only imagine how discouraged the apostles would have been after they had seen Jesus Christ scourged and crucified. He was mocked, tormented, and then executed. His disciples must have been so discouraged. And yet on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, our Lord rose victorious. And that was just the beginning of the story, the beginning of the church, where the gospel message and salvation would be extended to the ends of the earth. It was so close. And yet on Good Friday, I think the disciples would have had a hard time even imagining that. We too are so close to eternity. We can actually participate in divine life right now through the sacraments and through the life of prayer that the church gives to us. And the moment we leave this world, we step into eternity. We are so close. And our hope in eternal life should be so great. And so we pray this Easter Sunday that we might be filled with divine life and that each and every one of us might live forever in the new creation.